It is Monday, May 29. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. And results overnight, well, in the Formula One Grand Prix, Monaco, Max Verstappen beat Fernando Alonso and Esteban Ocon. Aussie Oscar Piastri finished in 10th place, so getting a championship point there. The Indianapolis 500 as well finished this morning, and Joseph Newgarden won it. After he won, he went and jumped into the crowd and celebrated with the fans as well. Now, who else is here? Scott Dixon finished 6th. Scotty McLaughlin, 14th. Will Power, 23rd in the Indianapolis 500 this morning. Over in the Premier League overnight, Leicester City and Leeds United are down, along with Southampton, relegated to the Championship. Everton needed to win on the final day to ensure their survival, and they did just that, courtesy of a fantastic goal from Decore against Bournemouth. So they won 1-0. Leicester beat West Ham at home. Leeds were beaten 4-1 at home by Tottenham. In the end, though, Everton just clear of the drop zone. And also overnight, or this morning, as the French Open starts, just the PGA Tour, the Charles Schwab Challenge, and Emiliano Grillo has just gone ahead at 10 under par, one stroke ahead of Englishman Harry Hall, who's 9 under. Best of the Aussies looks like Zaren Baddeley, who's 1 under for the tournament, shot a 3 under 67 to close, and he's tied for 21st. Morning to you, Buzz.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Am I being a narc, carrying on about the navy blue New South Wales jersey? Or I put a poll on Twitter last night, 1,500 respondents. Only 7% supported New South Wales wearing it. And look, I don't know. I don't like putting sort of marketing or commercialism, rebel sportswear sales for a different jersey ahead of tradition. I could never imagine the Queensland side changing maroon and wearing pink. Clarkie, imagine the Australian cricket team with a lime green, baggy green. Or
I think we went black at one stage for the 2020.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we went black, we went grey.
Oh, the
we
2021.
We went yellow in one-day cricket, we went green in one-day cricket. I don't see it as that big a thing, Buzz. Like, I think Loz said it spot on. I think we all love the traditional sky blue. But the other thing as well, I think everyone's known, well, everybody that needed to know in regards to NRL has probably known this for 6 months, because it doesn't take 10 minutes to make new jerseys. So I don't understand why there's just a fuss now.
That's the point I want to make. I'm told that Graham Annesley's the head of football, who they've got to present their outfits to him, before the series, to ensure there's no obvious clashes or there's not going to be a problem for the broadcasters or fans at the ground. And he wasn't officially given the New South Wales jersey until Friday. He'd seen it in promotional photos while the Blues were doing team pictures and so forth at training. Look, I don't see it as a massive issue either. But look, you know what? I've been covering this comp since 1980. I love the sky blue jersey.
Yeah, I get that.
And Clarkie, you've got a point. In the one day, and in the T20s, you change caps. But
not in test matches.
This is Origin.
Yeah.
And this is,
I get that.
This is, this is as traditional as test cricket in this country. It's the biggest show in, it's the highest rating show on Australian television. Mm. It knocks off maths, all the silly reality shows.
Don't call them silly, Buzz.
Loz's favourite.
Yeah, I'm a maths fan too, Loz.
Oh, beautiful. I can't imagine you sitting there watching maths,
Buzz. You two watch it together. You and Buzz on the couch watching Garrett at first sight together.
Sharing popcorn.
You know Al, the carpenter from Bondi, who was a sort of clumsy fellow who was on the show last year. He's playing footy for Bondi.
I saw that. Did you do an article on him?
I did, mate. Yeah. He's a lovely fellow. You know what he said? He said, "Why don't I come down to Northies with you and I'll do a shoey down there?" You know, he does that shoey. So. Really good fellow.
Geez, I tell you what, Buzz, your Instagram will go through the roof.
Oh, Instagram. Well, I'll be up there with Clark if I can pull that one off.
You have mine. Take it, Buzz. It's all yours.
Yeah. Oh, look, Buzz, I think when we get back to the Blues jersey, I think we all agree that we'd love to see Sky Blue.
Yeah.
But I think the commercial reality is that, you know, it's hard to knock back, making these new jumpers because people want to wear them and there's dollars to be made. And the other only question I've got is, why wasn't there a blow-up when it first happened 3 years ago?
Well, I asked the NRL about that yesterday, and the jersey 3 years ago had blue, light blue chevrons on it. There was a lot more light blue in it.
Right.
And look, Loz, you know, Jody Cross, who does a great job with
Excellent.
The commercial yep. side of the business, the New South Wales Rugby League, and Dave Trodden. But I don't know if they've read the room because as I opened up with only 7% of 1,500 people, which isn't a bad sample size, like it or want the Blues to wear it. So does that mean we're going to have empty shelves at Peter Wynn and Rebel and all that? Because no one likes it. Anyway, more to worry about.
Well, there is more to worry about, and we need a result on Wednesday night because it'll be tough if we go down, well, New South Wales I'm talking about, if we go down one zip because game two is going to be played in Queensland. But how do you think it's going to be received down there in Adelaide, Buzz, and how are those ticket sales going? And I also saw your article today when you sort of look at the two teams on paper, and we should never get carried away with teams on paper, in particular around Origin team, because New South Wales always seem to have the better team on paper and, you know, they're worth a lot more money. But how do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, well, New South Wales didn't have the best team on paper when you were coaching against, who was it, Cronk, Thurston, Inglis, Slater, Smith, et cetera, but look, the bosses at work asked me to rate every Origin player on what they're pay packets or what they're actually worth, and New South Wales, $14.8 million. To Queensland, $13.1 million. That's a $1.7 million difference, or as I said in the column today, it's two extra $850,000 players. I spoke to Greg Alexander, and we all know the rules in Origin. Pay packets mean absolutely nothing. They're irrelevant. The most talented side doesn't always win. It comes down to desire, the want to win, all those sort of things. Mm. And we see it in club footy all the time, don't we? And there's minimum wage players who are a really, really important part of premiership winning sides. And you look at Penrith, they're not all superstar names. And it'll be like that in Origin. And Queensland are going to be very, very hard to beat. As for your point, how's the game going to be received in Adelaide? Bulldog Richie wrote last week that more than 12,000 tickets were still available. And so the NRL then did a 2-for-1 ticket offer on Friday to try to fill those seats because it looked bad on Channel 9 with a backdrop of empty seats. I don't particularly like that because a lot of people coming in from New South Wales and Queensland, make up a huge part of the crowd, have already paid full freight and saved their money for a long period of time to get to this showpiece event and have a few days in Adelaide. And I don't like seeing them being ripped off. I don't. And is it going to entice others next time there's an Origin game on in Adelaide, Melbourne, Perth, or wherever, to not buy tickets and wait till a week or two before the event and get the cheapies? I don't know. Do you guys see it's a bit unfair?
Yeah, that is definitely unfair.
Yeah, especially if you've
forked out early.
Yeah.
If you go to a horse race, the Everest or the Cox Plate, they want $60 general admission, and the numbers are slow. You know, you pay, but make $30 next time, or any event, the movies, anything. You can't rip off customers, and I just think they've handled that one poorly. I really do.
What does it hold now, Adelaide Oval?
Oh, it'd be 53.5.
Does it hold 53? I was going to say about 45.
So they've sold 40 their middle, which, you know, isn't too bad.
Yeah,
commercially, it's a result because the South Australian tourism and destinations have thrown in a lot of money to have this event. But Origin, I think, needs to go to cities or towns where it will sell out straight away.
I said earlier, I still find it hard to understand how a a series that is only, or that is New South Wales versus Queensland, is played out of New South Wales or Queensland. What's your take? Are you cool with it? Do you like game one being somewhere else? Do you like game three being somewhere else? Or what's your take?
I tell you what it does. It takes the home ground advantage out of the equation. And so New South Wales, one year don't get two, and the Queensland the next year don't get two. And I like that. It's a series leveller. And even though I'm very old school and I understand that rugby league is strictly an eastern seaboard game, I do like taking shows on the road, major events, because the AFL do have an advantage on us as a national, truly, truly national sport. And look, I'm not sure it's ever going to work in rugby league. We've tried the Adelaide Rams, the Western Reds, etc. But when you've got a showpiece, didn't Perth sell out last year and a couple of years ago when Turbo had that sensational game?
Mm, I think it did.
So, look, I just think this one's been slow. You know, I don't like the way they have. There's billboards in Adelaide, and that they say, "Come and watch a real game of football." Now that's going to offend AFL fans.
Yeah, they wouldn't like that.
No,
I saw that.
Also, Buzz, do you think that I've got to be careful because I didn't like doing this when we went down to Melbourne. I didn't want to take the team down there too early. But I think if you're going to these interstate places, do you need to take the players down there earlier and have their camps down there?
Look, that's a very, very good point. You've got to go there a week out and you've got to do a media blitz. Now, in fairness, the NRL and Channel 9 have had some activity on the ground over the last month. There's my dog going off. I'll just put him outside, Milo. What was I talking about?
Adelaide. About players being on the ground, yeah.
Yeah, so Jonathan Thurston went down there. But the thing is, even with legends of our game like Jonathan Thurston, Paul Gallen was there last week. It's they're not as recognisable. They can walk down Rundle Mall and they're not going to get hit up for selfies. And, do you know what I'm talking about? You need the stars. You need the presence of Turbo, Teddy, Latrell, Nico, Nathan Cleary and the great Queensland players on the ground much earlier.
Now, Caelan Ponga yesterday was pretty good for the Knights. Corey Horsburgh was sensational the other night for the Raiders, of course. Both missed out on Origin selection.
Yeah, I sat there last night thinking I'm sort of glad that, look, I know Walsh at fullback's going to be a handful for New South Wales, but Ponga, I thought, was terrific yesterday. I really did. And look, not as good as that game 2 or 3 weeks ago, but the fact he handled a couple of heavy knocks was just about my weekend highlight. To see that he's still up to NRL football, that he can still get a bump and he can still play that special brand of football that only he can. With Horsburgh, I sat there watching that South game. He was best player on the park. Has to get 6 Dally M points, surely. And I'm glad Billy hasn't picked him. Because, in my view, he's an Origin-type player. And, again, I know Slater has picked a fantastic Queensland side, but I would have had him in on the bench for Queensland ahead of maybe a Jai Arrow or even a Reuben Cotter, the football he's produced in this remarkable Raiders run of 6 wins from their last 7 games.
Yeah, they've been great, Buzz. I'll tell you, on Saturday night when I was watching that game, I felt for Corey Harawira and Ira's family and the players out there on the field because we were unsure of what was going down. It's great to see that Corey is out of hospital, but have you got a latest update on how he's travelling?
Yeah, look, I'm sure all your viewers saw it, or your listeners saw it, but just horrible scenes as the young fella was having a seizure on the ground. And full marks to the medical staff at both South and Canberra who were quick to act and the players who gave him protection so there were no cameras around. And great news. So he was released from hospital at 3:30 on Sunday morning. He's now home in Canberra. He was driven home and he did that video yesterday to say, look, he's going to be okay. Obviously, because he didn't take a heavy head knock, there still needs to be all sorts of medical examinations to find out what did cause it. And the last thing on Ricky Stewart's mind is playing Corey Harawira now. Again, at this stage of the season until they get a complete satisfaction and medical clearance that the fella's going to be okay. And that's what I love about this Canberra Raiders side. And look, not just Canberra, let's be serious. I think every NRL coach would have that same position that the boy's health is more important than anything else. Yep.
Jared Croker, now it's emerged that he won't be playing against the Tigers at Campbelltown this Friday. Instead, will play his 300th game the following Friday in Canberra against the Warriors. And Cooper Cronk had some strong words to say about him not playing next week on Fox League on the weekend, Buzz.
Yeah, look, I had in my column on Sunday, even before the South game, that this was Ricky's plan, and he didn't want to officially release it until he was sure that they'd get through the game unscathed and he'd have outside backs and a fullback before making that announcement. Cooper Cronk deserves his views. He's been around and won five grand finals, but look, I totally disagree with him on this one. I think Ricky Stewart knows Canberra Raiders better than anyone else in the history of that club. He is not just rewarding his fans by making his 300th game a home match the following Friday against the New Zealand Warriors. It's a 6 o'clock game, so that means he won't play against the West Tigers. But he also feels that 32 years of age, Jared Croker hasn't had the best run with injuries the last couple of years. He's conveniently thinks he needs a rest from football as well. And it's at the back end of the year, which it looks like Canberra are going to be part of the finals. Giving the body a rest is going to, you know, help. And I back Ricky's judgment over Cooper Cronk's in this situation 7 days a week. Your thoughts, Loz?
Yeah, I can understand why the Raiders want to do that with Jared. He's had a tough last couple of years. Obviously, they want to protect him and try and get him through the season.
Is it more about that, Loz?
I think a combination of everything. I think it'd be a combination of giving him a rest, freshening him up. Also, the fact that they'd love to see him celebrate his 300th at home.
Yeah. The only thing about the three, like, I understand what Cooper's saying, because everything we talk about, and we say it a million times on this show, that no individual is bigger than the team or bigger than the game.
Yeah.
So the perception could be they're putting his personal milestone above what's best for the team. But it's not like he's been the Raiders' best player all season and they're taking a risk by leaving him out.
And he's not a 20-year-old.
That's exactly right.
As well, you know.
He's they've won nearly every game since he came back, though.
I think it was you last week that said you think a couple of weeks ago, a big change for the Raiders having his leadership and experience back in the team. So, I get that.
Yeah,
but
It's also modern sport, Clarkey, and you know, with the Australian cricket team and their rotation policy they have, particularly with 100%. Fast bowlers.
Yep.
And I remember I took my kids to the cricket ground would have been 15 years ago. And we were there, and they rested. I think it was Glenn McGrath the day we got there.
He would have liked that, Glenn. He hated resting more than anyone.
That, mate, I didn't like it either, because I played my phrase.
You want to watch your best players. I agree.
You know, but anyway.
Buzz, I saw that article yesterday in the paper with Daniel Anderson.
I didn't know about this.
I heard about it. But to speak to him, do an interview with him, and I know that Vonnie's got something on Fox tonight or tomorrow. Yeah. He's got a challenging period in front of him.
Said to Bulldog and Ray yesterday, I've done a lot of interviews over the years, but this was one of the most special. To walk in, it's quite nerve-wracking. You don't know if you can shake hands with him. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And he's in this horrible, horrible situation of being a quadriplegic and in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. A great man, Daniel Anderson, coached the Warriors to the grand final, I think it was 2002, and coached Parramatta in 2009 to the grand final. I walked in expecting to see a fella down and out, but his attitude and his demeanour was such an inspiration, how determined he is to move on with his life, to still play a role in rugby league and recruitment with the Roosters, to do all his physio. There's a sort of 2-year window where the doctors tell him where you can make some improvement, and then it sort of stops. My goodness, he was in good shape. And physically he's not, if you can understand what I'm talking about. And, a remarkable, remarkable man, the way he's tackling this. And look, importantly, I want to give his website a plug, because Daniel has big costs ahead in this really intense physio to turn his house into something, you know, that can cope with his disabilities and things like that. And there's a website, www.danielandersonfund.com.au. And look, I know everyone's doing it tough at the moment with interest rates and et cetera. But look, if you've got a few bob spare, I would highly recommend you chip in and try to help make this great man's life a little bit better for the rest of his life.
Yeah, it was tough stuff to read, Buds. DanielAndersonFund.com.au is that website. Have a great...
Yeah, I'll just say, Middo, it is a tough one to read, but rest assured, he's a real, real tough bloke, and he's gonna be okay.
Just before we go then, who wins by how many Wednesday night?
I'm tipping New South Wales. As I said, they've got the strongest team on paper, but I think Freddie and Brandy will have them up and ready to go. They'll have to be. They'll all have to play 100%. I'll tip Blues by 6.
That'll do. Good on you, Buzz. Thank you.
See you, guys. Ta-da.
Premier League overnight, the final day of the season. And if you're a Leeds United or Leicester fan, heartbreak. Going down to the Championship. Relegated Everton. They needed to win to ensure their survival. And they did that against Bournemouth 1-0. Had they drawn, they would have been going down. Everton, after Leicester beat West Ham 2-1. Leeds at home were beaten well by Tottenham 4-1. A wild result. Southampton and Liverpool finished 4-4. Arsenal beat Wolves 5-0. Brentford beat Manchester City, who got bigger fish to fry as far as the Champions League final coming up, 1-0. Chelsea and Newcastle finished 1-1, just some of the results from the last day of the season. Well done to Ange Postecoglou and Celtic. Celebrated being presented with the Scottish Premiership Trophy over the weekend. They thrashed Aberdeen 5-0. And what about little Luton Town? Set to return to the Premier League after a 31-year absence. They beat Coventry 6-5 in a penalty shootout after it finished 1-1 after extra time at Wembley over the weekend. Gee, their captain collapsed on the field, but he's okay as well. So Kenilworth Road, which has a capacity of just over 10,000, is going to host the big time in the Premier League. And if you want to see one of the weirdest stadiums going around, go and Google Kenilworth Road, because it is basically in the middle of a whole heap of terrace houses in Luton. Really, really bizarre sort of stadium. So, and just as I mentioned, that small capacity of 10,000 going to be hosting Premier League matches next season. So it's a great little story. They were a non-league club less than a decade ago.
Geez, how do they work that if they can only fit 10,000?
Yeah, well, that's they've got to make some changes for broadcast reasons,
etc. Yeah, I would have thought as a EPL club, you'd have to have a minimum standard stadium. As in, you know, you have to have 20,000 people there. You have to have broadcasting facilities, corporate suites, all that type of stuff.
But well, they do have to upgrade certain facilities. But as far as capacity, there's no sort of figure given to you that you have to have a stadium of X capacity. But certainly there are other standards that they
Liverpool
need to fix.
And Man City, Man United, all those big clubs, if they happen to play there next year, what bad luck.
Well, they're playing.
You only get 10,000. Season ticket holders. I'll sell out every game.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, look at this. I'm just showing the boys that's the
entrance
to the visiting end. So the away team's end. So it's basically an entrance below. Like, people live just above the entrance.
Mate, you could hire out your room.
Oh, you think
every Premier League game get a fortune?
That's it. Opportunity.
Opportunity. Exactly.
Who else we got here? Toddy from Leeton. Heroes. Man City, Arsenal, Man U and Newcastle for ensuring that Liverpool didn't finish in the top four. Villains, everyone at Chelsea FC. Terrible season. Back terrible owners who spent a truckload on individuals rather than a team. Oh, well, at least Liverpool didn't win. You'll never win again. Go the Blues. Toddy from Leeton. Good on you, Toddy. At Chelsea, what an awful season they had. My heroes, Damien Lane, winning the Japan Cup in front of a huge crowd. A great ambassador for Australian racing. Villain, too easy. The Queensland State of Origin side. Have a great day, boys, says Frank. Love it. Joining us now, Australian netball legend and commentator, Kath Cox. Kath, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, team. I'm fabulous for a Monday. How are you guys?
Very well. We're off to Adelaide for Origin later today. So looking forward to getting into South Australia. And, well, as far as their netball side is concerned, 1-point win over the West Coast Fever in a thriller on the weekend.
Yeah, I just got back from Adelaide yesterday and it was unbelievable. So that is the second time the Adelaide Thunderbirds have come from behind and one by one over the West Coast Fever this season. So I don't know what it is, why they match up so well on them. The West Coast Fever, I think it will be starting to get a little bit nervous, though. We've only played 11 games this season. Six of the games they've played have been by 1 point, but the last four they've lost by that 1 point. So I'm a little concerned about their ability to close games. And it's getting so close to the finals that the reigning premiers may be in a little bit of trouble here.
Well, especially with the Swifts, Kath, they're on fire and they seem like they're getting better every week.
Yeah, they are. Seven in a row now, Pop. Can you believe it? And they're the only Amazing. Team to beat the Melbourne Vixens at home. They did that yesterday.
Yep.
They won the first three quarters. They took the foot off the pedal a little in the last. But to me, the last couple of weeks, there's a real focus now on the Super Shot. Mm. I think most teams have been playing the Super Shot when they're behind and they know they've got to get quick points and they're starting to shoot it. But the Swifts have a real game plan, particularly in the last couple of weeks, that they sub in Sophie Fawns right at the start of that last 5 minutes and they just start shooting them. And what that's doing them is giving them a really quick buffer and it's making the other teams feel that scoreboard pressure. And it's really been working for them. So I don't know if that's been a real chat for them in the last few weeks, but it's something that I've noticed in the last couple of weeks and they're looking unstoppable at the moment. I didn't have them in my grand final at the start of the year, but I'm jumping ship and I'm putting them in it.
What's going on with the Giants, Kath?
Yeah, look, it's not been a good year. Joe Harton, obviously their captain's had a knee injury that's been off and on all year. She hasn't played the last couple of rounds. Yeah, they're finding it tough. But, I mean, there's so much talent in that side, it's hard to get your head around. Mm. I don't reckon they're going to make finals at this point. They've probably left their run too late. The bottom four and the top four have got quite a big gap between it now. But, yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. I think they'll be just trying to focus on next year now and how they can regroup, how they can keep some of their team together and turn around.
Of course, Kath, the big story off the court is the looming demise of the Collingwood side. What are your thoughts on this and how's this all transpired?
Yeah, well, no looming about it. It's happening, isn't it? It's the good thing is the girls have got the rest of the season to play out. But, you know, we saw on the weekend they were up in the Sunny Coast playing the Lightning. They walked into the stadium and they got a standing ovation from the netball community, which I just think is unreal. The coaches came together and had a moment. The players all came together at the end of the game and had a few words. And there was some clear emotion there, particularly with their head coach, Nicole Richardson. You could see her with some tears in her eyes at the end of the game. It's been a tough week. They're a club that started back in 2017 when the Suncorp Super Netball started. And they haven't had a huge amount of success. They've made finals four times but kind of been knocked out in the first weekend. So, you know, the Collingwood CEO, Craig Kelly's just said, this isn't a viable option for us anymore. Now's the time to maybe cut them because every team's kind of in the same boat. I mentioned to you guys before that every single player in the competition's off contract at the same time this season. So maybe he just thought it was a better time to do it and everybody's kind of in the same boat. But yeah, it's been a tough week for them. And they rallied. They had a good strong half in the first half of the game, but they couldn't get a win on the weekend either.
So, Kath, any other team in danger of not being there next year? And also, what's the chances of the Magpies being replaced by another franchise?
Yeah, well, we have to replace them. It's part of the broadcast deal with Fox that we have to have eight teams. So now the pressure is really on, though, to find this fourth team. Ideally, it's in Melbourne. So, you know, I spoke to Kelly Ryan, the CEO of Netball Australia, a couple of days ago. And she's pretty confident that they'll find one. But what we really want for the players is that team's found pretty quickly, because we've got players going to a World Cup in just over a couple of months. And the last thing they want is that uncertainty of their futures and where they're going to be living and what's going to be happening. We want these teams to be able to get this CPA signed, have a future, start negotiations with clubs and do that all before they go and try and win a World Cup for their countries.
Okay, so Melbourne looks likely. Geelong, I think I saw, we're going to throw their hat into the ring, Kath. Considering these players, so I'm sure a large bulk of these players will end up at that new franchise. Is it that obvious?
Oh, look, you'd probably think so, although I know there's a lot of other clubs and players that aren't overly happy, particularly the bottom four of the ladder at the moment. They'll be looking for some... I think there'll be quite a few changes, actually, in the off-season. But, yeah, like I said, it kind of needs to happen yesterday. I feel for these players at this point.
Origin. Who's winning?
Yeah.
We need a tip.
How good. Adelaide, the place to be this year, isn't it? Off the back of Gather Round with the AFL and now, you know, well, not if you guys are going there, it's probably not the place to be. Anyway.
No offense, well,
we're going to behave ourselves, Kath.
Speak for yourself.
I love that the last 4 years of this competition's alternating, though. So it's actually New South Wales team. I feel like we've got the team to do it this year. Loz, I actually want to ask you, though, five years as a coach, every time I think of Origin, I think, how hard is it to realistically get a team to gel when you have such little time with them?
It's not that hard, to be perfectly honest, Kath, because they're high quality individuals that you've just got to get them together to play for each other and play for the state and do all the little things well, and then their natural skill can take over. And it's just more about just competing. It's just competing hard on every little play. Because you don't have the time and space like you do in the normal NRL competition. Everything's so much quicker and harder. The referee tends not to be as pedantic as they are in the NRL. They let the game flow. You get fatigued a lot quicker than what you do in a normal game. And it's just a matter of just pushing through and trying to hang in that tough time. But, they're wonderful contests. There's not much between the two.
It's where the heroes are made, isn't it?
It is. It's the ones that can really push themselves when they're absolutely buggered, that just can keep going and do the unthinkable.
Yeah, well, I'm backing New South Wales in. I'm also backing the New South Wales Blues in for Women's State of Origin. Their first game is the 1st of June after the boys, and that'll be Parramatta Stadium, so I'm looking forward to that. Loz Waller, got you just quickly. Accountability, how's your diet going?
I tell you, you know what I did, Kath, last week? You know what I did? I trained twice a day every day.
Well done, you.
Yeah, I just make smashed myself at the gym. And my mates are all into me. You vain bastard. What are you going on there? You know, what are you doing?
Twice a day?
Oh, well, I was.
Did you train twice a day when you were playing?
Very rarely.
Level? Yeah. What's going on with you?
Well done, you. I'm impressed.
I just had to go, Kath.
You
I got sick
the
of
guilt.
Well, I got the guilt, but then also I got people giving me honest feedback. You know how sportsmen are happy to have honest feedback. The feedback that I was getting, I wasn't happy with.
Yeah.
So I needed to do something.
From your mate.
Oh, well done. Well done, all of you.
Got there in the end, Kath. Got there.
Inspiration. Kath, thanks so much. You have a great week.
Pleasure, guys. You too.
And she was a trackside there at Eagle Farm on Saturday, just as a punter, not a worker. Ali Mosley, morning to you.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do with myself. I was walking around and thinking, what do people do when they go to the races for fun?
Well, first and foremost, did you win?
Well, not really. So we had Luke had Hawaii 5-0 with Jerry, and I wasn't sure. I thought Yellow Brick would be too hard to beat, so I didn't back him. So I missed out there, although he did win, which was a great result. I did actually have something, a place on Stroke of Luck in the Queensland Derby, who ended up running third. So I've come to the conclusion that I would rather back a horse each way and have a crack, who I think he SP'd at about 31, than a $1.70 favourite. So that's what I've come to at my ripe old age now.
$6 the place, you take that any day.
Yeah,
well, of course you would. Did you back Think About It?
No, I didn't. But I saw him in the yard, and I know everyone was getting a bit worried about how busy he was. But we've seen so much of him and how much of a high-energy horse he was. And he was probably even more high-energy than I'd seen him was being Sydney. So it did make you sort of a little bit nervous when you see it. But he's a very, very good horse. I think actually the horse to follow out of that race will be Little Converge, who's come back in super order the way that he found the line. And he'll be peaking for his next assignment in a couple of weeks, as will Hawaii 5-0, who's going to get into the study with a really light weight on his back. I think Rachel King's going to ride at about 49.5, so he'll be hard to beat there too.
So you mentioned that Queensland Derby, though. Kovalika, that was dominant, to say the least.
Yeah, and we all thought that he was, you know, the $1.70 wasn't very appealing, but it was, you know, he was always going to be really hard to beat. I know he's hot favourite now heading towards the spring for the likes of the Melbourne Cups and the Caulfield Cups, whether people think he'll be as dynamic over a further trip. But he's a very, very good horse, and he won like a $1.70 favourite should, and it was a great result, really. So onwards for him.
And, you did mention, obviously, Hawaii 5-0, but what did you make of Yellow Brick? Certainly didn't lose any admirers. It was heavily backed.
Yeah, definitely didn't. I think it could have been a really different race had he been able to find clear air, and I think they would have fought it out to the finish line. It would have been a really exciting finish. I think Hawaii 5-0 was given, not to discredit his win, because I think he's such a wonderful horse. He's 610 kilos. That is really big, even in racehorse standards. I think he's a wonderful horse, but I think Nash Rawilla, his ride, won that race. I think Nash rode him so well. He did such a wonderful job on him. He's such a relaxed horse. He just sort of does everything he has to do, and we're expecting him to let down a little bit better in the concluding stages, not to say that he won't go on with it. He's got a bit more in the tank, and he'll strip a lot fitter for the Stradbroke now, but I think Yellow Brick would have almost probably run him down had he got clear, and I think he's a fantastic horse. I think it'd be really exciting. There's some suggestion that I think Tony and Matty Sears think he might not even get into the study. I think I'd heard at one point that he was a little bit further down in the ballot, but it'll be really interesting if he should, because it'll be...
Have you got an early lead, Ellie, in that?
To be honest, I'm so impressed with Hawaii 5-0. I know he's going to have a really light weight, about 49.5, and if Rach can give him any sort of run like Nash did on the weekend, I think he will be particularly hard to beat. I think we'll stick with Hawaii 5-0 early there.
Okay, it's on the second line at $5. Think about it, it's $3. Converge, $7. Aft Cavern, Ruthless Dame, $8 for Queensland's race, the Stradbroke, in a couple of weeks' time. Also on that day is the JJ Atkins, and we saw an impressive Dundeal Colt Tannhauser win in Sydney on Saturday there at Randwick. It's $11 now for the JJ, with Sofrato and Make a Call top of the betting, both at $6, heading into that race for the two-year-olds, the Group 1, in a couple of weeks. What do you make of Tannhauser, Ali?
Great, but there was a horse actually that I'll follow that I almost tipped with you guys on Friday, and then I thought, I'll leave him out. I backed him really early when he first was put into the market, when Rogie was thinking about bringing him out here. Rogie's got a huge rap on him, and he almost got flattened. I'm not sure if you guys had seen him out the back there, but Solidified.
Yeah.
He quite honestly almost hit the deck. We were very, very nervous. The way he picked himself up after that walloping and was able to find the line, I think he was only beaten less than 5 lengths, and kick back. I just think he is a really tough horse. Early betting, I'm not sure what he's in for the JJ at the moment. I think he'll probably get an Australian jockey aboard, which will maybe change things up a little bit too. But my only query with him, and this would be my only query, is that he has had quite a long prep, a lot of travel. He's come out from New Zealand, and he's only a two-year-old. So he was quite busy in the yard too, so I'd hope that had just brought him on and that he relaxes next time we see him. But I would have an early bet on solidifying the JJ.
Anything else out of the weekend, Ali? Following going forward?
Yeah, there are a couple in Sydney, actually. I think you couldn't help but notice Poseidon Ruler's eye-catching run in the midway. He ran the second best last 200 of the entire day, so we'll throw him in there. Redwood Shadow is going really well. Once he gets up to a suitable trip, he's going to be a player. He drifted to a clear last over, early over the 1,300-metre trip, but worked on strongly down the outer. So I think he'll be a really nice horse once he gets mile plus. And any easing of the ground won't be any concern to him as we head into winter. So I'll follow those two out of Sydney as well.
Ali, thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thanks, guys.